Tom Landry is 6 yards away from his sixth Super Bowl. And of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. Third and three.
We'll see a pick of some kind on the right side, possibly.
Montana looking, throwing in the end zone.
Dave Damaschek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Happy birthday to perhaps the best quarterback of all time. I don't think anybody would sign off on that in the 21st century, but he's in the conversation, at least the great Joe Montana and maybe the greatest coach of all time, Vince Lombardi. He'd also be in the conversation. Gene Wilder, at least the most underrated comedic film star that we've seen in the last 60 or 80, or I guess pretty much since film was invented. Shia LaBeouf, Jacques Cousteau, wow. Adrian Barbeau. The list goes on and on, and I'm proud to say I have a birthday on June 11th, and I dare say maybe the greatest birth date of any that you can find out of the 365. I challenge you to come up with a better birth date collection of stars than what June 11th offers there. Anywho, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. QBs, as we love to talk about, it's never out of fashion to buzz about QBs and who's good and who's bad and who's the best and who's better than whom. We'll get into all of that right now. Maybe we'll have some time for some NBA Finals talk, maybe for what's going on in baseball with the I think we need to move a franchise up to Mount Pius already. It makes too much sense. At least the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's where it belongs. You know, that's everybody up on Mount Pius about everything these days. Let's get into everything, shall we? First of all, saying hello to one of our favorites here at NFL Media. You watch him on Total Access. You hear him on Sirius. He's, a famous guy himself. It's Cole Wright. What's happening, fella?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
Great baseball pitcher yourself.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. If I was great, I'd still be playing. Not
relatively speaking.
Not the case. Okay.
You must have been
for that pat on the back, though.
But I bet you in your neighborhood that the kids feared Cole Wright. Were you the scariest pitcher in Little League?
I didn't start pitching until I got a little bit older.
You're kidding.
No. That's why I was. My advice to the youth is don't take up pitching until, you know, you're at least old enough to.
Oh, wait a
second.
Damaschek was getting turns. I wasn't the best pitcher on the team, but when Aaron Grendel couldn't go, I was one of the
Aaron Grendel.
Yeah, right. Oh man,
he was beast.
He could throw it so hard. And then
League.
Yeah. Well, no. What he would do is he would play shortstop, and I remember very well at Forest Hills. I think where the field was. And when in the spring and summer, when the sun would be going down, if you were at first base, which is where I was playing,
sure.
the sun would set right in your eye line over the shortstop's head. And Aaron Grendel was the shortstop on my team. And I was so scared. I was like, please don't hit it to Aaron Grendel.
You're lefty, right?
Yeah, I'm a lefty. And they at shortstop, if they hit the ball to him, he would throw it so hard to me over there. I'd be so petrified that I wouldn't see it. I mean, it was a 50-50 proposition under the best of circumstances, let alone with the sun in my eyes. But sometimes I would get the pitch out there, you know, like if there were two games in a week and you couldn't let Aaron go in the second one, I would go out there. And one time, I think it was either 3 or 4 innings, scoreless, you know, hitless even. Then I walked the bases
full. Like a young Sandy Koufax.
Yes, until
the bases full.
Until I walked the bases full, and then the only girl in the league came up to the plate, and she happened to be lefty, and I didn't like that, you know.
That lefty-lefty matchup had you shook.
Well, I didn't like it. It threw off the optics for me, you know. It was like hard, like, wait, I can't throw. I feel crowded, and first pitch I beamed her. Not on purpose.
No, it was intentional. We know it was.
Maybe she had a couple. Maybe she was crowding the plate a little bit too much. I don't know if she did it again.
Strategy.
Because I don't know. Because I was pulled after that.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you walk the bases pulled, and then you just beam the
somebody?
Girl. I think your day is done.
Yeah. Hit the showers.
Anywho, hey, let's say hello to the other guy joining us here. I mentioned him on last week's podcast, and he didn't care for the mention. I thought it was nice of me to promote a colleague's banner job of ranking the QBs by franchise and determining who the best quarterback quarterback in each of the 32 NFL franchises is, and then taking that and weighing which franchise has the best gaggle of QBs since the common draft began. He sits down there. You see him way in the background when you see Patrick Claibon or anyone else at the news desk. You see him way back there on the wall on NFL Network. It's Ali Bompouri. How are you, fella?
You know, I'm doing well, and I got to say, I didn't mind the call out.
That was nice of me.
Yeah, it was nice of you.
You're
the
welcome.
The way it started, but, you know, I was told by Ryan Bartlett that there was a little bit of a call out.
Right.
And so I was excited. I downloaded the podcast. I was getting ready to fly out on my one-year anniversary.
Puzzle tough.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I was sitting down in my seat on the plane, turned it on. It all started out great. And then the words wild and daft were
you. All right, but you understand daft doesn't apply to Damashek. That's not a part of my lexicon.
No, it was.
That's Handsome Hank.
And Handsome Hank decided he didn't want to show up here today.
He's a coward.
I'm not going to use that word, but he threw out some.
It's quite the indictment there on Handsome.
It's all is daft. You know, that's what he said.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
He did chicken out of the Patrick Holmes Velocity Invitational, though. So
yeah, we did that last.
Does that surprise anybody?
Nowhere to be found.
So you went and you ranked all every franchise. You determined who you think, using numbers, not just your heart and gut. That's usually the two things I rely on. But you used actual numbers and research to divine who the best quarterbacks are for each of the franchises. Eddie Spaghetti, what struck your eye? Anything behind the glass there? How are you? Thank you for a nice bottle of rosé. I know just last weekend it was National Rosé Day.
Right.
More of our good work, our impact, making the world that's already good even better.
Did you steal that from the Palm Hotel?
Yeah, I know. No. What gives there?
What is that? Like complimentary bottles?
Hey,
I was giving this to Jay for his birthday.
I browsed the store. I saw a quality bottle, and I thought, you know, 2018 is a great year for rosé from what I heard, so I got Dave the best.
But it's named after the hotel, though.
It is a little fishy.
Like, yeah. They'd be like, hey, here's a bottle of Sheraton. Enjoy, Dave.
Sheraton.
You should make sure.
Yeah. here's some fine 2019 extended
Best Western brand wine? I've never even heard.
Red Roof Inn?
Wait,
is that Trader Joe's?
Red Roof Syrah? What? I didn't know that they were involved in that sort of thing.
Check the seal on that. Make sure it's not
right.
Yeah, why is a third of it missing?
Is there glitter in there?
Look, I got the receipt. I have the proof that it's a quality, you know, purchase/bottle. So let's.
I appreciate it, Spaghetti. Thank you very much for that. All right, I'll jump into it then. Let's go with, because I want to talk about a few of the most controversial ones, and not surprisingly, they are some of the most decorated franchises in NFL history. Obviously, if you have good QBs throughout the last half century, it probably has led to a Lombardi or three. So let's start with the San Francisco 49ers. Who did you determine? Because that is something we've talked about a fair amount here in the last month or so on the DDFP. Steve Mariucci and David Carr, both of whom know quite a bit about quarterback, and say that Steve Young is better than Joe Montana. I mean, what? David Carr also said Cole.
He's all about hot takes when he's over here. I think he does it almost intentionally.
Oh, yeah. He also said that Steve Young, he also said Joe Montana isn't in the top 10 quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era.
That's a wild take.
I mean, I don't know.
Blasphemy.
I don't
know.
That's a wild take.
He's better than that.
It's a little
weird. He's better than that. He did that for clicks.
He
had to have.
Eddie Spaghetti was witness, and the listeners heard it.
He said it with like a half smile,
David
though, right?
No. I said, listen, David Carr, you're going to get a lot of stuff for this. Do you want? We can stop. We can go back. We can let you redo this. He refused.
He
said, I understand what's coming my way. So, all right.
Wow. So, I should say, let's start it off.
Hotter than the pass rushes that felled him repeatedly in his rookie season down in Houston.
With this exercise, to be eligible as to be determined a franchise quarterback, you had to have a minimum of 48 starts with that team to show a little bit of longevity. So, 16 games in a season, 3 seasons worth.
Before you go too far, who is the least franchise quarterback-y of the franchise quarterbacks? Who's the guy when you think franchise, like, he's not really a...
I mean, there are quite a few. You know, Jeff Blake on the Cincinnati Bengals qualified, but is not someone who would necessarily... So you had to have 48 minimum starts. Then you had to fulfill 2 of the next 3 requirements, 2 of 3. 1 Pro Bowl selection at least, 75 or higher passer rating, and then a winning record as a starting quarterback. So that all sets, you know, as the table set, that's how I then created the list of who was eligible for which team. So for the 49ers, I went Montana over Young. During Montana's prime, in the about an 8 or 9 year stretch, the Niners scored almost 200 more points than the next closest team. You know, Super Bowl winner, obviously he's got four, he's got the MVPs. It was a close call, but you know, four is going to always win, versus two versus one, with Young only had one as a starter. So it's Montana.
Well, I mean, the argument that people, as I always say, people are overthinking things a little bit when they want to devalue the championships. You know, it is the point, after all, of playing the season. So I think Absolutely. You do have to weigh it. And in fact, it should be very close to, if not the number one evaluator of how good a quarterback is. You know, that's
not like Joe Montana was just along for the ride.
Yeah, I do.
If someone's like, oh, he has four titles, but, you know,
I think Montana's great and everything. I do kind of buy where David Carr is coming from, which is that the Bill Walsh offense jumped the NFL, and teams just didn't, it wasn't a simple like, oh, we'll just start doing this, they're going to start throwing more. You didn't have the personnel to react to what they were doing. It was such a curveball that the NFL had no, I mean, and you look at the guys, the thing that boosts Montana though is who he was doing it with. And those first couple, before Jerry Rice arrives, before Roger Craig really fully emerges, I mean, look at the names of guys. Dwight Clark was very good. Freddie Solomons was older, and the running backs, you would have a hard time even summoning their names at this point.
But his numbers are great.
Yeah,
I mean, and they hold up. And within that period of time, he was, you know, top five, top seven in almost every category you'd want to be in. So while it's close, and I wrote in there that, you know, Steve Young would be almost every other team's franchise quarterback.
Yep.
But just when you're going up against Montana.
In my QB studies over the last, like I say, basically since the offseason began here, I've really I've dove into it. One thing that has emerged is recurring great outsized respects for Steve Young. People love people who study football and are wise about it for the last half century, like I say, love what Steve Young did. My pushback is, yes, he was great, except that he didn't rise to the occasion in the big spots in January more often than not. He couldn't take care of those Cowboys teams and Brett Favre. Yes, those were great teams. You know who else played great teams along their way to Super Bowl championships? All the other QBs. What do you mean with the nonsense that, well, yeah, but the Cowboys and Packers were really good? Yeah, well, yeah.
You got to beat those teams.
What do you, yeah. Who didn't have to beat good teams on their way to Lombardi?
The biggest criticism I've gotten has been, oh, well, you shouldn't count wins, win losses, and championships because it's a team.
Rubbish.
Yeah, I think it's part of the equation. That's why you talk about passer rating. That's why you talk a little bit about Pro Bowls. Yeah, you can say what you want about Pro Bowls, but for the most part, if you've made a Pro Bowl, you were a top 5 to 10 player at your position, and that's really what you are aiming for from your franchise, to be a franchise quarterback, because that's what you want.
I don't want to have to restate things for the umpteenth time, but but you know, listen, a quarterback is more, it's a team sport. You can't put it. Well, then why does the QB make
get all the shine
that much
exactly.
more money
yeah, so
than the right guard makes? What are you talking? What are we talking about? It is not. Then everybody would get paid the same if it didn't make a difference. That your quarterback be your best player.
I think the only man I've ever asked to take a selfie with, Joe Montana.
Is that right?
Joe Montana.
Neat. Yes. Okay, so you're going. I don't think that one's that hard there. Who is I would think it's the Niners. I did something very similar to this a few years back, where I took the top three QBs in franchise history. I didn't go all the way back. I do it in the Super Bowl era. I try to keep it to that. I don't care what happened in 1940. Nobody cared about pro football back then. College football ruled, not pro football. To that point, always, to the cynics who push back at that, I will remind you, when the college all-stars used to play the NFL champion, which they did for I don't know how many years, at least 50 years.
Unbelievable.
They used to do that. The college football all-stars used to beat the NFL's best team. That tells you everything you need to know about the state of the NFL way back when. Anyhow.
When did that end? Do you know?
1977, I think.
What?
It was a crazy rainstorm game. The Steelers played the college all-stars. Randy White of Maryland got a sack on Terry Bradshaw. Matter of fact, let's jump into that team right now, shall we? Well, we could jump into those two teams. Let's go with Randy White's old team, the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. This is an interesting one. Troy Aikman gets the three rings. Roger Staubach would probably be hailed up there with Joe Montana pre-Tom Brady had he gotten just one of two victories in the two Super Bowls he played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He would have been held up with three rings as the probably, like I say, up there with 16 in the 20th century. So who did you go with here, or did you go Romo?
I did not go Romo.
No, Romo.
I did go Staubach, and I think with Staubach, he does not have the rings, but he's got a lot. He's got more championship game appearances than Aikman. He was incredibly successful, and he won so much. He started 50 fewer games than Aikman and won, what are we looking at here? Only 9 games less. So 50 fewer starts and only 9 fewer wins. So he did a lot in a lot less time. And so for me, it was Staubach number one over Aikman.
Skills translate, his particular skill sets would translate very neatly in the 21st century too. He was Russell Wilson basically before Russell Wilson was not designed runs per se, but so elusive back there, kind of like Fran Tarkenton back in the day.
He also led the league 4 times in passer rating. So
that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. So I thought
so many dramatic clutch moments for Roger Staubach. Yeah, I think the kids out there, if I would direct anyone to go back and dig up video on the computers, that would be one of the top 3 or 4 guys I would suggest you go back and watch, because he really is one of the all time greats.
And I feel like if a lot of people looked up Troy Aikman's stats, like if you ask people off the top of their head, like, you know, just give me numbers here and there, I think they way overshoot some of Troy Aikman's numbers. No disrespect to Troy Aikman. I mean, I think sometimes the 3 championships clearly cloud people's, you know, what they remember and what they don't.
I mean, you know, like I say, Montana's first couple of rings came without Jerry Rice, and people often will attach it. But, you know, Joe Montana did ultimately play with the best receiver of all time, had a great offensive line. People forget how good those defenses were in San Francisco. And that's one example. Everybody who we will discuss here who is at the very top of the list played on good teams. That's what happens. Right. Yes.
Yeah, totally agree.
Nobody's ever won with the bum squad from front to back.
And so let's go with the most controversial thing perhaps of all here. The Niners have Montana and Steve Young, and they had Colin Kaepernick, who took him to a Super Bowl. I don't know if he qualified.
He did Jeff not Garcia? Qualify.
Jeff Garcia?
Jeff Garcia did qualify.
Jeff Garcia had some big years there with T.O. Steve Bono even wasn't a terrible backup there.
And Alex Smith came
on with Jim Harbaugh. You had
Elvis Gerback. Just missed him.
John Brody, did he,
he did
qualify?
He did qualify.
So they had a gaggle of good QBs. And then Green Bay would be the contender for me, along with San Francisco, for the best collection of quarterbacks all time.
Yeah, the thing with Green Bay, though, is because, similar to you, I only went back to the common draft era, so Bart Starr didn't end up qualifying because he didn't have enough starts from 67 onward with the Packers. Had we done all time, the Packers, I mean, Starr, Favre, Rodgers is, I don't know how you maybe, I don't think you
people can. People might argue that. I'm sure people in Green Bay won't like that as what the result is because of your decision to do that. But also, it's disingenuous when people start talking with great passion about how good Jim Brown was. Did you watch Jim Brown?
Exactly.
How many games of Jim Brown's? What's your favorite game you ever watched him play? You don't know what he... Yeah, it's hard to assess guys you've never watched play. So I always try to eliminate those guys preceded my watching of it. And I try to go back and watch games. I've watched Johnny Unitas play a couple of games now, but it's hard for me to really assess how good he is, how much he measures up with
the one camera angle from the top.
Yeah,
from the press box.
So I would say... To me, I would say San Francisco, but okay, based on what you're saying, Rodgers and Favre and Mikowski and even Lynn Dickey.
Yeah, so...
Lynn Dickey had some nice years there.
As far as with these measurements, only Favre and Rodgers qualify for the Packers. And as amazing and as great as they've been, and it pains me as a Bears fan to say it, they're awesome, and they've tormented the Bears for a long time. They were only number 3 on my list of teams.
So who's your number 1?
I went with the Cowboys, which led to a lot of people on Twitter, you know, proclaiming me being a Cowboys fanboy and being a huge lifelong Cowboys fan. Both things not true. But when you look at the Cowboys, they basically have had a great or above average quarterback play for almost the last 45 years. And so I valued the longevity and the availability of a lot of these guys. While their top end is not as good as Montana or Young or Favre or Rodgers, collectively as a group of franchise passers, they gave the Cowboys an opportunity to win for a long period of time.
It's interesting. I would say we had the debate last week. You know, Romo's place on this list is interesting. We talked about that last week. I would say in the 21st century, I would go Romo, probably Eli, and then McNabb as we try to rate the high-end QBs in the NFC East. Romo, as I get away from his career, the more I sort of admire what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he was incredibly efficient. He was accurate. He did a lot. I think it's going to be sad that maybe 10 years from now, we're all going to remember him as a CBS broadcaster more than as a quarterback.
Right. Well, the
and
thing
that breaks my heart.
The thing that stains his career. Well, the things that you remember from his career. One, he gets himself behind the eight ball by fumbling the snap in Seattle. Then at 13-3, he loses at home to Eli. That was a bad loss that you can't entirely hang on him because it was the defense that allowed Eli to drive the field, not Romo. And then three, the thing that would have fixed all of that is if the catch on 4th-1 in Lambeau against the favored Packers, if he throws a touchdown pass there, I am as big a Rodgers fan as there is. I think Rodgers very well may have taken the Packers right down the field and won the game anyway. But you don't know that would have happened with 4 minutes left in that game against what was a sneaky good defense there in Dallas. If you give Romo that and you send him to the title game in Seattle, I don't know how that goes because that Cowboys team had already beaten Seattle.
And I know people want to have their issues with pass rating, and it's not a perfect stat by any means. But it is one that we use frequently, and he's up there all time with his career passer rating. I mean, he's top 10, maybe even top 5, somewhere around there.
How many NFC championships did McNabb go to?
He went four? To four in a row.
Yeah, and a Super Bowl. Didn't win, but, I mean, Tony Romo, as far as winning in the postseason, they never got, you know, anywhere near that far.
And as I like to point out, who was he throwing the ball to outside of T.O. that one season? It's not exactly a collection of all timers there. However,
I think if someone said when they were in their prime, if you need one of these guys, I mean, maybe blind
Thrash
resume.
Well, I'd take McNabb
and
Romo over Eli as far as player goes.
Well, he did have Brian Westbrook, who was a do-it-all Swiss Army knife kind of player.
I think I'd take Romo
don't make
third out of all those guys.
Really?
I think I'd take Romo third out of those guys.
Ooh, okay. Bold. Now let's get to... So your top three, lay it on us here. We just talked about those three.
So Cowboys number one, Niners number two, Packers three, and I put the Niners ahead of the Packers because...
Because of Bart Starr.
Montana Young is better than Favre Rodgers right now.
That's the... Well, yeah. Now, wait a second. Now, if that's your math, I don't agree with
and then I think
you.
It, and then I think you it always will
Rodgers,
be.
You added Favre. Talk about... I just say Romo has sort of risen, by my estimation, now that he's retired. And by the way, I think Dak Prescott is a little underrated.
Yeah, he is.
He's fine.
He's,
what he needs is... And beware from the stuff you hear coming out of Dallas is that they are going to use Dak as more of a running weapon, a little more RPO. When they did that last year, they were really tough to stop. It was very strange that Jason Garrett and company and Linehan and everybody didn't jump on that more. It was obvious to my eyeballs. Surely an NFL offensive coordinator should have picked up on that as well. But okay, so you go. I mean. Rodgers is I don't mean just raw talent in terms of translating that talent into NFL football games. He's still Aaron Rodgers. I know there's only the one chip at this point.
So it's totally possible that Green Bay leapfrogs San Francisco by the end of Rodgers' career. Hmm. That's the stands right now.
If they have a season like they did last year.
What I mean. You expect when you have those two guys that you're going to win more than two titles. And with San Francisco, I should say, I mean, adding in Garcia, adding in Alex Smith, adding in Brody, helps them also. But for me, yeah, Montana.
It's also funny, though, that history, recent history has, or the tail end of Brett Favre's career kind of stains what preceded it in it, just a couple of moments, like we say, with the Romo and the fumbled snap and everything, that a couple of big moments define your career one way or the other. And Brett Favre, it seems like the tail end of his career, the interception in New Orleans as the Vikings QB and the bad pick in the title game in Frozen Lambeau against Eli and company, have now overwhelmed the rest of his deeds. People have forgotten Brett Favre's greatness.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Three straight MVP. A lot of
yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh. If you spaghetti don't. I mean, am I right in? I mean, I know I'm making a bold statement and saying that other people now don't respect Brett Favre as much as they should. But what's your sense of Brett Favre's place in among Super Bowl era QBs?
He doesn't get talked as much about like during like people my age or my generation. For some reason, like he's not, when you think of all time great quarterbacks,
I don't know why.
Immediately now, people around my age, like mid 20s, you think Peyton and Brady, because that's what you grew up watching. And then you think Breeze kind of next. And then maybe like the 04 class of those guys who, like, you know, the ones that won rings and Rivers as well. And then you think all time greats. Then you immediately go to Montana and you go to guys like.
And then people, Marino, the esteem for Marino is greater at this point than it is for Brett Favre. That's my sense.
That's
of
crazy.
What hurt Brett Favre, made him a joke too, was like the off the field stuff.
Yeah.
I think that he's like a joke to some people. And then that, but people don't realize like the guy's throwing like 150 mile an hour quick slants at receivers and won a title. And, you know, he's one of the best statistically, but I definitely has hurt him.
Yeah. The three MVPs not who else has done that? I don't think anybody, right? And so for me, I picked him as the Packers' all-time franchise QB.
And think about who he was out on the field, you know, what the era that he was playing in, too. You know, there's stiff competition.
I mean, his record for games played, games started consecutively, is incredible. I mean, to me, it's one of the most.
And he's also
in all the sports.
In the, you know, this offseason has been plagued by, oh, this quarterback isn't a leader and he isn't, you know, he doesn't have command the respect. Brett Favre is that guy. His teammates loved him. You know, he really is one of those very few QBs who actually lives up to the hero of the silver screen that doesn't actually exist in 2019 in very many NFL locker rooms. Brady is also beloved, but I mean, Brett Favre is pretty much the other guy when people say you need everybody to buy in and want to win for their quarterback. Yeah, that's not true at all if you go and talk to locker rooms around the NFL. But we mentioned the Steelers, so let's get to that one then too. Roethlisberger v. Bradshaw, you came down with
Bradshaw.
So, I love Bradshaw. I think he's talk about another one who is there. There's a funny category that I vouch for. It's not underrated overall. It's underrated even though they're Hall of Famers. And Terry Bradshaw is definitely one of those guys.
Yeah. So for me, when I think of the Steelers organization and franchise quarterbacks, I think about that dynasty in the 70s and the four Super Bowls. And so for me, when I think of franchise quarterback, yes, Roethlisberger has played longer. He has way better stats overall, and he's a better player. But during his era, Bradshaw, I mean, the offense, the Steelers' offense was a top 10 offense for many of those years when they had a world-class defense. And then that is often used to hurt Bradshaw. But when you look at Roethlisberger, I believe 11 of his 15 seasons as a Steelers starting quarterback, he's had a top 10 defense as well. So those things go hand in hand together. And when you look at their playoff stats, they're almost identical. So Bradshaw's playoff stats should be way worse than Roethlisberger's in the era that he played in. And when they look almost the same, you're...
Well, consider roughly half of Bradshaw's career is played pre-Mel Blount rule, where they opened it up for the passing game. But as soon as they flipped that switch, first of all, Bradshaw was largely a passenger. This was a dominant, perhaps the greatest sustained defense that the NFL has ever seen, that the Steel Curtain was in the mid-70s. And you had Franco Harris toting the rock for you behind a good offensive line. Bradshaw was basically tasked with not screwing it up for the most part. However, in Super Bowl X, the reason that they pull through is because Lynn Swann makes the dramatic catches. He has the four catches, three of which remain on most highlight reels that you'll ever see. But Bradshaw, for what it's worth, throws the strike, a 64-yard touchdown pass in the fourth quarter as he gets concussed to Lynn Swann to win that game. And then 3 years later, after the rules change in 1978, he wins the MVP. He comes out and starts. Is he a passenger then? No, he's slinging the ball all over the place, taking advantage of the rules changes. And his first 300-yard game, to show you the difference in era, his first 300-yard games, he's drafted in 1970, first ever in his career, is in Super Bowl 13 in January.
Some crazy passing numbers in one of those games.
It's crazy. And then his second one is Super Bowl 14 against the Rams. He looms large in those Super Bowls. In other words, in the biggest spots of his career. I think that has to count for something. Still, though, his prime window of slinging the ball around is about 6 years. Roethlisberger has done it for now a decade and a half. And yes, people choose to diminish the early part of his career. Oh, he was a passenger on those teams. Not really. If you go back and look at how they got to the Super Bowl
defenses that Roethlisberger had were fantastic. I mean, Polamalu, Ferry, Timmons, Harrison, Taylor, Clark. I mean, they had so many studs on that.
But to be fair, though, to every quarterback that we talk about, and then we say, oh, but their defense was so good, and they were, you know, a quote-unquote passenger. When have we seen a team that's been successful and won Super Bowls that had a bum defense? Like, oh, yeah, like that offense is unbelievable. Yeah, but that defense
totally
was garbage city.
I'm
like,
saying that more to show that that shouldn't be a knock on Bradshaw, that both of them have benefited from it.
The reason, ultimately, the two things that why I'll give it to Roethlisberger over Bradshaw at the end of the day is, so
no
for about a dozen years, for the last dozen years, it's been Roethlisberger's team to carry. And he has, and the defenses have been great, but what people ignore about Roethlisberger's prime, it was not a brief window when those offensive lines were garbage. I mean, they weren't mediocre. They were subpar. And Roethlisberger is one of the few human beings, along with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson in the 21st century, who could overcome a lousy offensive line and still thrive. And two, it's just been a longer stretch. I mean, he's done it for a dozen years now versus Bradshaw doing it for about 6 years.
And the fact of the matter that he's been able to do it with Tom Brady in the way, so to speak. I mean, if you want to get to the Super Bowl, if you're Ben Roethlisberger, you have to get past Tom Brady, or you know that obstacle looms.
The other side of that coin is he didn't. He hasn't done that.
Well, so I mean, he hasn't beaten him, but I'm saying you know that there's a possibility. You know that when you're in the AFC, you know that that road is going to go through Foxborough at some point, whether it's someone that you're going to play or someone that you have played. So you know that you're going to take on a tough team at some point or another because you've done it in the Tom Brady era.
As a Steelers fan, what period of time is more remarkable to you? What, the Roethlisberger Steelers or Bradshaw Steelers? Not talking about the player and at what they've their production, but as a franchise quarterback.
It is ultimately kind of an apples and oranges thing on so many levels. I mean, so many levels. Bradshaw, you know, Hollywood Henderson famously says he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A. Nevertheless, he was calling his own plays. Yes. Roethlisberger is doing that a lot at the line, is changing the plays a fair amount, and it is his offense. But for the bulk of it, he was being dictated to by Bruce Arians and beyond. Also, once your team was formed, if you had Chaz Knoll, the Emperor Chaz Knoll, drafted that team and he put an all-time team together, once that was your team, that was your team, and it didn't change a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot of variation season to season.
Sure.
It versus the free agency era, which is what makes the Belichick
so remarkable,
run so amazing.
Yeah.
And Brady deserves a lot of credit, but as I go along in life, the more I'm starting to think it's Belichick. And I also think Brady doesn't want to retire because he knows that that machine's going to keep on going without him and it will diminish his luster. If the Patriots win a Super Bowl, or not win a Super Bowl, the Matt Castle thing.
I worked in Boston when that went down.
I mean, they didn't get to the playoffs, but I think I've said it before and I'll say it again. That Matt Castle season is damning to Brady's legacy on some level. And he
is it. I mean,
a little bit.
It just shows
that
New England has a terrific system because every team has a system and every quarterback is a system.
I guess
is a system quarterback.
I guess,
no matter what it is, if you're an accountant, if you work well at your job, you're a system accountant. You work well in that.
I don't want to have it both ways, but also Steve Young did step in for Joe Montana, and that they hardly skipped a beat, although they didn't get over the hump for quite some time because of the looming shadow of Joe Montana over Steve Young.
You have to be good to work in a system, too.
But Matt Castle is Matt Castle, you know. and he still won 11 games with that team. If it, when you can plug and play a journeyman like that, that's kind of damning, right?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain...
And the limited window of Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, you know.
Brady's also won 3 MVPs.
It's pretty.
Yeah, and he's
maybe I'm playing a little devil's advocate here.
I mean, I feel like if you're a professional, which all those guys that you named were, and you get into an unbelievable system, I feel like you can thrive. Imagine if Ryan Fitzpatrick at his best would have been in New England, been able to start some games. Say Tom Brady wasn't there. I'm not saying Ryan Fitzpatrick would have moved the world, but I bet you he would have won a whole bunch of football games with Bill
Belichick.
Maybe
that's something we could team up on. Going forward, is
putting a quarterback on a team that they've never played on.
That I think is the interesting thing, and with the 100th year here, it's ripe for those kinds of
Fitzpatrick
whimsical debates. Mm-hmm. What if you traded Roger Staubach from 1976 to 2019, and you sent, let's say, you know, how about you go with Tom Brady? What if you traded 12 for 12, and you sent Roger Staubach to the Patriots of the 21st century and Brady to the Cowboys of the 70s? Well, how does that impact those two things? Let's start doing that, Trey. Let's start doing that.
We got to figure out some simulation.
We'll get Wessling on that. I think his opinion is trustworthy on this subject. We'll get him. We'll get Rosenthal, right?
Yeah.
No, we don't want those.
Yeah.
Handsome Hank.
I can give or take.
David Carr. Mooch.
Sure.
Kurt Warner. We'll put the blue ribbon panel back together, Spaghetti. This will be fun if we do that. All right, let's move on.
Does it have to be just for quarterbacks or going to be for our other position players, too?
We can do it for other positions.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Sure. What else do you want to do? What do you want to tackle?
Wide receivers. Why not? Imagine if the
right
Bears
tackles.
Drafted Randy Moss.
Long snappers. Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, it's essentially a redraft, but a reshuffling of the deck. Imagine if this guy was on that team or if that guy was on this team. You know, Donovan McNabb could have been on the Bears.
Yeah. You may have heard. I'm a fan of what-ifing stuff when it comes to pro football.
It's kind of fun.
Count me in for doing that. All right. Spaghetti, what else do you want us to do here? How are we doing on time?
You got a half hour, so plenty of time to get into whatever you guys want.
Okay. Well, what should we talk about then? There's so many things. Let's choose a good one. NBA Finals. Who you rooting for, Ali?
So it's a little tricky for me. My wife is Canadian. So we were watching the game yesterday, and there was a lot of cheering for the Raptors and, you know, support for them. I want a good series. I always like a good comeback story, so I want to see this go to 7. It was tough to see Durant go down yesterday. That was a terrible result.
That was a shame. And I ultimately, as much as we want to get up on Mount Pius and we want to cast aspersions on anybody who allowed this to happen, I do kind of ultimately come down on KD. Had the counsel of the medical staff in Golden State, and I know that they deep down wanted him to play to save this dynastic run, but they are medical professionals, and KD, you know, in the 21st century, I find it hard to imagine that KD wasn't being consulted by physicians of his own or people that he trusted, and he took a risk, and I feel very bad for him. And the upshot is he's nails and for going out there and making the contribution he did in a pivotal,
pivotal game five. Awesome.
Yeah. But I think he probably Kevin Durant and his burner accounts and whatnot. I think he probably was reading a lot of tweets and a lot of people saying, almost to the effect
that
he needs to ride back in on that white horse. And, oh, man, if Kevin Durant comes back, I think, you know, he maybe he allowed some of those Twitter cats to, you know, to gas him
interesting.
Up.
Interesting.
Just a little bit. What do I know, though?
You think social media
I'm not saying it was
any other influence?
It was the number one factor, but I'm saying it might have played a part. If he's sitting there thinking like, man, should I come back? Like maybe if we push it to 6, you know, that game's not until it's on Thursday, right?
Doesn't this make us look bad? Doesn't this make my free agency look, as I go out, I don't seem essential if Golden State, but they were about to lose and now I can save the day by coming in there. Actually, the other side of that is right. If he doesn't show up on the court pre-game 5, if he doesn't go out there and Golden State flames out,
then
now
what is everyone going to say?
No, well, but I think the other side of his value is now proven is that, see, they fell apart. They couldn't handle Toronto without me.
Well, you just got to look across to the other team, right? And something similar happened with Kawhi Leonard when he didn't come back and he didn't play and everybody got on him and, you know, were saying all these terrible things that he didn't want. He didn't have the heart. He was soft. I don't know. For me, with Durant, the guy wanted to play. He's a competitor.
He's a gamer, man. You can't shut that down.
Incredible, incredible player. I don't know whether he was healthy enough to play or not, or if how connected it is with the calf issue he'd suffer. Who knows? Sometimes bad things, you know, like
I gotta think it's that they're. I think when that's always what they say happened.
When the needling comes in, when they're sitting there saying he's reading tweets or whatever, he's hearing from people like, man, if Kevin Durant comes back, I think when you push a gamer and say you can't do this, or you know, this is what'll happen if you do come back and are at top performance. I think that's what got his blood boiling and said, you know what, I can come back.
I don't know what it'll mean to his legacy or anything else, but I do think...
Just don't go to the Knicks.
I do think that Kevin Durant decided, for all the vapid cynics on social media with KD, he's ring chasing. It's shameful that he doesn't hang in there. Magic Johnson never did that. Yeah, reminder, Magic Johnson got drafted onto a team that had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar already on it.
Yeah.
So stop with that nonsense. And then right after that, they drafted James Worthy, another all-time great, and Larry Bird also drafted with the Chief and with Kevin McHale and DJ and all those guys. So of course, it's not a fair comparison.
Imagine how good Oklahoma City would be though if they still had James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant.
Like. But the thing I always say about
Serge Ibaka,
if they could have just settled there and decided, let's just make a go of it here for the next half decade or decade, who knows how many they would have won. But as it was constituted, KD didn't just go and ring chase and get a ring. He joined the Golden State Warriors and became the most important player on the greatest dynasty in NBA history. If they can come back and win this. If they come back and win, I'm sorry, I forgot the Chicago one.
Out too. That's
wait a second.
That's fighting words with the two of us.
Wait a second.
What?
I got bad news for you guys. I got bad news for the both of you. All three of us were in Chicago in the 90s. All three of us were there for
Come
the Jordan
on, Dave.
Years.
Then you should bite your tongue right now.
I was there too. I saw the whole thing go down. And you think
I've never heard anything so outrageous in my life.
Your assertion is that the
greatest,
90s
if they
Bulls,
win this, they're the greatest dynasty. They don't even have as many rings as the Bulls then.
Listen to me.
This is an outrageous.
This is outrageous. This is blasphemous.
I honestly didn't know that this is where that conversation was going to go, because to me, the 80s Lakers maybe are better. Although their path to the finals every year, as I've pointed out many times, was pretty breezy. Relatively breezy through the West in the 80s was like the Nuggets and the Rockets had some good teams, but it was not exactly rugged. Whereas the Celtics had to go through some powerhouse teams just to get to the finals.
Jordan single-handedly destroyed numerous Hall of Famer careers.
Right? I think absolutely. That's right. I mean, think about how many guys don't have rings because of Michael Jordan.
All right, don't get mad. Spaghetti, anyway, are you surprised that they're so mad?
I'm kind of with you. I think that if you played the 96 Bulls...
Says the dude from New York. Aren't you a Knicks fan? They haven't won a championship since 1973.
And I'm upset because of Kevin Durant's injury. So
dude, even if he went there, they still won't win. It's the worst franchise in all professional sports. The New York Knicks, worst franchise in all professional sports.
I upset these guys get about the Bulls.
Outrageous.
What's great about the Warriors team is like if they lost a guy like Durant, they become like a more defensive team. That like when they have Durant in the court, they're kind of like looser in a sense because they have like so many superstars. They lost him. Obviously, they're playing great defense. This series, the Raptors just are playing at another level. But I think that it would really give them a run for their money, those Bulls 90s teams, I think.
The Bulls from the 90s would destroy the Warriors.
It's
an ultimate hypothetical. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you could be a lot more physical.
You could put your hand. Imagine if you couldn't hand check any of those Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's not even talk about Jordan and Pippen.
Yeah.
I mean, Tony Kukoc is going to shoot the lights out.
I don't know.
Come on.
Clay and Draymond.
Where does Steve Kerr's
Clay
lie?
And Draymond.
What about their three-headed monster at center? I mean, that was not formidable. Any better than what Golden State runs out there.
I mean,
by the way,
Bill Wennington.
I think not talk ill about Will Perdue. Yeah. And Luke Longley.
Oh, I'm talking it, friend. And Boogie.
Dennis Rodman? I mean, Dennis Rodman would destroy.
That was the
Draymond
second
Green.
Half, right. Okay. But by the way, you don't get
Horace Grant.
You don't get Hull Grant and Dennis Rodman.
I'll take Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
If you have to take one of them, I mean, Dennis Rodman's the best rebounder of all time.
Okay. But if you really want to have that conversation, I will throw in again the 80s Lakers. I mean,
they're very good, but I'd say they're just a cut below.
You
the Chicago Bulls. I'm not just saying. I mean,
you know, we talk about we 20 minutes ago, we're talking about underrated Hall of Famers. Sure. You know who's also become an underrated Hall of Famer? Magic Johnson. It's crazy that even in Los Angeles, you'll find people who would tell you that Kobe Bryant was better than Magic Johnson. To that, I say, ha. And I say it again, ha. Ridiculous. Kobe Bryant versus Magic Johnson.
I'm saying they're on the same plane.
Oh, come on. I mean, in the world of people who play basketball, they're fairly close. But if you're getting into that top 10, top 15 all time, Magic Johnson is certainly ahead of Kobe Bryant.
Kobe was a great scorer. Take Magic's all-around game.
Of course you would. What are you, loco?
I mean, I don't think that's a losing bet either way. I mean,
our guy Tyler out there. Trill is out there talking about how Kawhi is superior to Kobe. Tell me what.
At the end of his career, he will be. If he wins this, his ring.
Let's pump the brakes.
All-around game is insane.
Will that give his second title if he wins this one?
Didn't he have
won one with San Antonio? Does Kobe have five? Let's pump the brakes now. That's a little presumptuous, isn't it?
So you're
saying to say someone with two championships?
You're that down on analytics,
he wasn't even on that Spurs team. He wasn't even the centerpiece of that squad. He played well. Did he win MVP in that one? I don't remember. I'm not the biggest basketball kid, even though we just dug into this.
I don't know why you got so angry.
Because you can't come around here. You can't come around two Chicagoans saying that the Warriors are better than the Bulls.
I know. That's all
you did that on purpose.
I know. You got that. You got the 85 Bears.
You did that on purpose.
I know. Talk about, see, now that's the other side. Overrated. 85 Bears.
Whoa. Gosh. I mean, for 1 year, not overrated.
They were great. They're one of the single season better teams that I've seen, but it's a little overstated how good they were.
I mean, yeah, Jim McMahon was a formidable quarterback, but he wasn't like.
You had Walter Payton.
That's true.
A little old. By 85, he had begun slowing down ever so slightly. The defense was phenomenal, but they went against Dan Marino, and Dan Marino, quick release quarterback, exposed them, and he would have done so again in the Superdome if they would have had a rematch. Unfortunately for Marino and for pro football history, that he was denied that by a rainstorm in South Beach, and the Patriots went in there with Craig James and Mosey Tatupu.
So you don't think Buddy Ryan would have game plan for that quick release in the second matchup?
I don't know. Why didn't he do it in the first one?
I mean,
you don't think it would have?
You learn.
I'm sure they have game film. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they had it, but it was a lot less. It's not like Buddy Ryan was sitting there, with a.
All right, let's move from this fight to another fight. Justin Bieber, Tom Cruise.
Oh, man.
I don't know where this came from.
Me neither.
Sean Merriman, though, has now joined the cause with me to try and figure out.
Amber Theo Harris works for Sean Merriman's MMA.
That's right.
Company, yeah.
That's right. And now Merriman and I think the world over is captivated by this out of nowhere proposition from the Biebs. I say, well, let's go around.
Are they the same weight class though? I think.
Well, let's go.
Bieber's a lot bigger than Tom Cruise.
What?
Oh, I think Cruise has him by like 20 pounds.
Oh, don't go reading my Twitter feed as gospel because I'm the one who said that. I don't know if you read that somewhere and just absorbed that.
Eddie, how tall is the Biebs? Can we do a quick check?
Bieber is supposedly 5'9". Cruise is supposedly 5'7". But Cruise, I know he's much older. He's probably 30 years older.
Ripped.
Yeah, he's not a decrepit old man, though. He's not 75 or anything. What is he, 52 or something?
Does his own stunts.
Yeah, I mean.
He does his own stunts, thank you. And two, he also, how many different
martial arts?
Of the pugilistic arts, right. He does a boxing movie, bare knuckle boxing in Far Away with Nicole Kidman.
Because that's real effective in hand-to-hand combat in 2019, like the way they fought in that movie.
I think it plays a role.
Come on over here, buddy.
I'll
give you a nice little rap in the mouth.
The kisser.
Who fights like
that?
He just
beat up Superman in the most recent Mission Impossible movie. So, I mean, I think
that's exactly right.
Tom Cruise, hands down, this is not.
Spoiler alert, I didn't see the movie, and now
I didn't either.
Why would I even go see it?
It's like, I feel like if you train
that in the trailer
for a movie like that, like I told my wife after watching Million Dollar Baby, I'm like, man, Hilary Swank might be able to get you. And she still is not letting me live that one down to this day. Anytime we see Hilary Swank, she's like, there's your girl. There's Hilary Swank. She can beat me up, right? I'm like, when are you ever going to get in a fight with Hilary Swank?
Worst
Never.
Family ever, that movie. They go to Disneyland
before they go see her.
And see their quadriplegic daughter.
Nothing was going to.
He just came from Disneyland. We heard about the injury.
They were terrible people, but to be fair, nothing was going to change with her status. I mean, you might as well get in Disneyland. Maybe the lines were shorter earlier in the day.
Okay.
She's still going to be there.
Going into the places. That's a bold take. See?
Good. I mean, there's terrible people. There's nothing good about them. But have you seen Million Dollar Baby before?
I haven't seen Million
Dollar Baby. What?
I know. If we'd wait, we're here. It's in the afternoon. It's air conditioned here. If we had gone the other way around, we'd be broiling in the humidity.
You ever sit in a line at Disneyland right now, and 4:30 in the afternoon?
And then they would be like, oh, yeah, she can't respond.
Those kids that haven't discovered deodorant yet. And it's like, oh, man,
you're
like,
right.
I got to get the fast
pass.
Okay,
you make an interesting point. But
I don't think they got the fast pass, though.
Cruise wins.
Cruise kills him. I mean, Mission Impossible. What are all the movies? Mission Impossible, where he does a lot of
Edge
a fight.
Of Tomorrow.
But I wouldn't be surprised if Bieber came in there and had a little more than you would think.
Jack Reacher. I haven't seen Jack Reacher, but again, if he's doing all these stunts, it's not like it would be completely foreign to him. What experience does Justin Bieber have throwing hands?
He's pretty. I mean, I don't think he has much experience, but he is pretty athletic. I've seen the kid hoop before, and he's mean on the skins. He can play the drums, so it means his hands are quick.
What does that have to do with anything? What do you mean? Let's play the skins.
Have you seen that guy go on the drums?
What do I care? He
turns one of these into one of these. You know what I mean?
Tom
real
Cruise
quick.
Also, is never going to give up. He's never going to give up.
That is definitely true. Who do you think is going to respond better to getting punched in the face? Bieber or Tom Cruise? Tom Cruise is like Brad Pitt in that one, or Ed Norton, one or the other, maybe both. When he fights, I just wanted to destroy something pretty, that scene, when he's just bleeding all over and like laughing.
In the boss's office when he's beating himself up?
All that stuff. That would be Tom Cruise in a fight. Like he would take his own blood and like he would lick it off his finger and he'd laugh maniacally and keep on fighting with you.
Give me the guy who jumps out of airplanes by choice. Give me the guy who broke his ankle jumping across rooftops and then continued filming on, because that guy's not stopping.
I haven't heard, that's an interesting point, that Justin Bieber is good at basketball. Okay, so he's athletic.
He's athletic.
And he's younger. But I do think, as I always say to the little fellas, you know, I'm not a fighter. I've never been in a fight in my entire life.
Never?
No, but if
You've never been in a fist fight?
Never.
Come on, Dave.
Never. Never. Right. I'm a man of peace. Okay. But if I outweigh you by 40 or 50 pounds and I lean my weight on you, that's going to have some impact, isn't it? Tom Cruise is bigger than Bieber. No. Spaghetti.
I think Cruise.
You're a fighter.
Yeah, I'm not a fighter.
If he's never been in a fist fight, something tells me that neither one of these cats have ever been in a real fist
Did
fight.
Bieber
like, it's all like training. Like you've been punching bags and stuff like that.
Maybe
like,
Bieber play like youth hockey, got into a couple scraps up in Canada.
That could be it.
But I'm going with Cruise. Cruise has like that weird Scientology energy. I don't think that he's definitely going to.
Ooh, Willie McGinnis.
Yeah, I wonder what Willie thinks.
I would like to hear from Willie McGinnis on this.
Willie's engaged in fisticuffs before.
Can we bring Willie? I know he's doing Move the Sticks in a couple of minutes here, so we'll
get
out
of
the way.
He's in a suit. Looks very businesslike.
I would very much like to hear from McGinnis on this subject. I'd also, you know what? Get Willie McGinnis.
Wow. Willie just said I think he thinks Bieber might get him.
Whoa. What?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. He was like
challenging him online. Oh, really?
Yeah. The artist challenged Tom Cruise, the actor, too.
He's a sneaky athlete, though.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's nervous there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just do your job that you've been trained to do. That's exactly. Of course, Willie McGinnis knows the truth on that one. It is. I do wish to continue this conversation, but we also got to get Willie. Eddie Spaghetti, when you turn your mic off and on the other side of the glass, talk to Willie McGinnis about joining the DDFP, too, because we have important questions for him that we discussed earlier on the show. All right. Excellent stuff all the way around. Before we get out of here, though, Cole Wright, you dropped a line on social media that you want to weigh in on the best national anthems out there.
I just thought that Whitney Houston's was
far and away the best performances of our national anthem.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't mean like the Kazakh national anthem.
Here's a hot take
I'll give you a hot take here.
Portugal has a fine national anthem.
You make your jokes, but I'll tell you something. The Star Spangled Banner is not as good a song, just a straight-up song. Draw a line between its emotional importance to you and just hear the songs. Oh, Canada is better, and France's national anthem is superior.
I've never tried. I never thought about really actually ranking other countries' national anthems against each other.
I just did. Okay. Canada is great, and I'm not just saying that because my in-laws are Canadian. It's a great song. It's
can you do the whole song?
No, I cannot.
Oh, I can't.
I won't. You do it.
You want me to do the whole song?
I mean, that'd be a little much. That'd be a little much.
Everybody's shaking their head.
Canada,
right?
You know what? I want to talk to McGinnis, ASAMP, too, because I also want to hear what he thinks about this nonsense in baseball with these unspoken rules. Because I think Willie has an old school flair to him as well as an appreciation for the young guys as well. I would be interested to hear about baseball's will to make it as unpleasurable an event to look at. Shame the devil that a guy would hit a home run and be happy about that. Shame the devil. Even Bill Belichick said, people always think that Bill Belichick is robotic and turns those guys robotic, but I have heard him say, you should celebrate a big play in pro football. They're hard to make. What is this nonsense of Madison Bumgarner, a.k.a. New mayor of Mount Pius, getting upset because Max Muncy hit a home run off of him?
Shame the devil. By the way, he...
Oh, yeah, he didn't just hit a home
run. Hit the brakes
run.
Off of that one.
Yeah, right.
Well, here's the thing is, I'm totally fine with Bumgarner being upset about it. I mean, you should be mad if someone crushes a ball off of you. It doesn't make him wrong, and it doesn't make Muncy wrong for also celebrating. Like, those two things should be happening together. You should be pissed off that you gave up a home run.
At yourself, though.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the dude that
well,
hit it.
Well, if you want to let it out on, you know.
It's not his fault he had a good at bat.
Yeah. I mean, but the beaning guys, and he hit a home run, and then he didn't run the bases quickly.
Here's the catch. There's a difference between not running the bases quickly, which he said he did, which he clearly did not. I mean, he took, like, what, 2.5 steps and then got on his way. But there's a difference. Like, if a guy walks 8 steps down the line, there comes a point
there's
where
no difference.
It's like, hey, you can do that if you want, but guess what? Your boy that comes up right behind you is going to get one. And then he might need to tone it down a little bit. That's fine. You just have to know that that's what's coming with it.
No.
That's what's coming with it.
That's dumb, and that's bad for baseball.
If you go yard against me, and Ali's coming up next, and if you were egregious with your celebration, I understand you can celebrate to a certain effect, but it's like, let's not go over the top.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
It's almost like when a dude does it over the top, it's like, okay, here's what you're going to get, and now your boy's going to get it after you. So do you want? I mean, your boy's gonna be like, "Hey, man, you better."
That's not over the top. What's over the top is to respond to that baseball misdemeanor by throwing a super hard.
It just stings for a little bit.
Object at somebody's head.
If you go at their head, yeah. But if you go in the back, you know where. If you're especially these guys in the majors. I mean, they get paid millions of dollars. You know exactly where you're throwing it. You're supposed to hit someone middle of the back down in the back of the legs. You don't throw at anyone's head.
I can't believe that you're one of these guys.
Yeah, so. I've done it before. I was talking with my buddy about it earlier today. Right. I had a guy hit a home run off me. I swear it's still probably in orbit.
You understand
but he
it, Rube.
Took about 8 steps down to first base, and the next guy.
This is why the NBA is now more popular than baseball, and if the curmudgeons of baseball ain't careful, hockey's going to jump them soon, too.
Oh, never that. Never.
All right, listen. We've done a lot of good work.
When's game 7?
Game 6 is what, Thursday, right?
What, hockey?
It's already game 7 of the Stanley Cup. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, never. If game 7 of the World Series was going on, we'd all know what time it was going on. I mean, for the most part, even nonchalant fans in my circles.
I see also looming behind Eddie Spaghetti on the other side of the glass, Chicago's own Latham, who I know would defend the Bulls. Ask Willie McGinnis, though, real quick. Who's the greatest dynasty in NBA history? He's going to say Celtics of the 60s.
Why wouldn't I say this? Who got the most championships? Who dominated the longest period of time?
That's not a good answer because the 60s Celtics had to vanquish exactly 7 other teams to win their title. And the path to an NBA title back in the 60s was win a best-of-5 series and then win a best-of-7 series.
They were great for their time, but...
You can't say that because the rules are what the rules were. The rules change in sports all the time. You can't go back and say, well, that doesn't count because the rules were the way you just mentioned then versus now. It is what it is. They still won all the championships. They still have the most. I think the Chicago Bulls was another one, and then the Lakers. They're all, like, great, but they're all different.
He said the Warriors are better than the Bulls. Yeah. He said, <"Whoa." laughs> that's all you can say. I mean, the Golden State Warriors better than the Chicago Bulls? Like, that's outrageous. Bucky Brooks is here. Bucky.
You got to get the six first.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they don't have to get the six.
Yes, they do.
They have to get the six. That's they've won.
I mean, for a team that has six championships with the greatest player of all time, bar none.
Don't you see Magic Johnson had to vanquish Larry Bird on a couple of occasions? That's
the
distinction.
Mike had to take out Isaiah, and he had to beat Magic.
Yeah, he beat Magic.
Yeah.
But don't you see that until the Brady Patriots, the reason the Steelers are the greatest dynasty.
And he took out Karl Malone. He kept guys on the top 50 list
for
rings.
The reason the Steelers are the greatest dynasty is because they beat the Cowboys and they beat the Dolphins and they beat the Raiders and they beat the Vikings. Some of the best teams in NFL history just to get to the top of the mountain. That does matter.
You see
Magic Johnson's dynasty is greater than than Michael Jordan's.
You have a sign that's in your own studio right here. Studio 66.
All right.
No jive.
I've had it with everybody on this side of the glass, on that side of the glass. You've ruined my birthday. Thanks, Phil.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Happy birthday, Dave. Okay, that makes it all right.
We share a birthday week.
Are we cool? We're going to do our project together,
yeah.
Bonpuri, and then we're going to get Handsome Hank the Coward.
And your triplets are coming up.
Ooh.
Yeah,
exciting.
Don't forget about that.
Lots to come. We'll be back with more Hoogie and Applesauce for you later on in the week. In the meantime, track down on NFL.com and otherwise. Give your Twitter handle real quick.
It's at Ali Bonpuri. You're not going to be able to spell that. But you should go to NFL.com/franchiseQBs.
Yes, much as you heard at the top of the show, there are a lot of cool stuff to take a look at and debate. Cole Wright, Total Access, Sirius.
Just keep it busy.
You know, absolutely. King of all media or Prince.
Try to be.
Thin slice of heaven.